that I was leaving. We will get to the notes here eventually, but before we get to that, let me just say, as we are in the series of scars and forgiveness, that if you live long enough, there will be someone who will hurt you. Do you agree with that? If you live long enough, there will be someone who will hurt you. I guarantee it will happen. I guarantee that someone will lie to you. Someone will lie about you. You will be knocked down. You will be beat up. People will borrow from you and never repay it. People will steal from you and never even think about repaying it. When you need your friends the most, some of them will betray you and they'll leave you altogether. You'll be left holding the bag. If you live long enough, all kinds of things are going to happen to you. You will be wronged. So in our series, we've talked about, so far, the big letter S. Anybody remember what S stands for? Sin. You will also sin against others. And you're going to feel some guilt over that, or at least you ought to. You'll feel some shame because it is unresolved. Sin, of course, is simply missing the mark. God has set a very high standard for us, and we simply fall short. And because of that, we are in bondage to our sin. And so we have that second letter, the big C. Anybody remember what the big C stands for? Confession. Confession. We did that this morning. We admitted what God already knows, that we have failed to meet the mark. In other words, it's saying, I'm sorry for what I have done. And last week, we hopefully had a lesson that you remember, that we're all in this together. All of us have missed the mark. There's no one who's perfect. Well, today then we go to the big A, which is the absolution part of the forgiveness. The announcement that God has canceled the debt. And we'll go on to the other two parts in the next 2 weeks, the restoration and the sanctification. Now, how do we live out a life as sinners being declared holy by God? But before we get to all of that, because this is fairly straightforward what we ought to do, but there is this one little conundrum, this one little sticky part. So we know what to do when we do wrong. We confess, and God forgives us. But what do we do when someone else sins against us? When they're the ones who have ruptured the relationship. When they're the ones who have a debt against us, how do we encourage them to come to us and ask for forgiveness? And even more than that, what if they continue to sin against us? And what if they apologize and we forgive them and then they go do it again and again and again and again? And that was a question that Peter had for Jesus. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister? And he said, 7 times. He's being really generous because the going rate is 3. You know, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. And so the Jews said, the rabbi said, 3 times, that's the standard. After that, go ahead and hold on to your grudge. Get some revenge. Pay him back. Kind of like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But Jesus said, he turns the whole thing upside down and he says, no, not 7 times, even though that's a perfect number. 77 times, or I like even better, 70 times 7. Now, math scholars, what is 70 times 7? Anybody? 490. So Jesus is saying that put on your smartwatch, get an app, and every time someone sins against you, you put a little mark there. And on number 491, you just go nuke them, right? Yeah, love it. No, this is not a math lesson. Jesus is saying 7 is perfect times 10, which is the fulfillment of all God's commands. Remember those 10 things? And then 7 again, he's saying forgiveness is forever. And every time your brother or sister sins against you, even if they apologize and even if they do it again, you will forgive them. So today what I want you to get to is this. Not just the what or the how of forgiveness, but the why. Because you'll never get to the what if you don't understand the why. So let's go through it. Now you can find your notes. There are two things that I want you to remember to do, and there is one thing that I want you to remember to don't today. So let's begin with this one. Do remember that God has given his forgiveness to you. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So it's kind of like this. We're all lined up together. You owe 10,000 talents. We'll just start with you. So how much is 10,000 talents? Well, it's 10,000 bags of gold. So I have no idea how much this is because I have no bags of gold at home. None. Maybe you do. In the King James, it says 10,000 talents. How much is a talent? Well, a talent is 60,000 denarii. Well, how much is a denarius? It is one day's wage. So if you just do a little math, the average wage in America today is about $50,000. People worked then 28 years. We live much longer now. But if you did that and you added it all up, it would add up to about $8.2 billion. Now, the problem is not that the man owes money. We all owe money. The problem was he had put all of this on his American Express card, and the amount is staggering. There is no way that he will ever be able to pay $8.2 billion. Just to put it in perspective, if you made 50 grand a year, and you work 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of every year, and you had a 28-year working lifespan, it would take you 164,000 years to pay off your debt. That is 5,857 lifetimes. Now, putting it all in perspective, $8.2 billion debt, 5,857 lifetime. The man's response is absolutely hilarious. This is what he says. Be patient with me. He's saying, I'm going to live almost 6,000 lifetimes. I'm going to live 160,000 years. If you believe in reincarnation, he's going to have to come back 6,000 times and live his entire life and work every single day of that life. And the king is probably thinking to himself, hell will freeze over before this man pays me. Pigs will fly. I will become a Cubs fan before this man can pay his debt. It's impossible. And that's the point. It can't be done. Because you see, this story is not just a story. It's a parable where you need to put yourself in it. Just as all Jesus' stories are. And so the debtor is you and me. We're the ones who owe God a debt that is impossible to pay. We could not repay it in thousands of lifetimes. And that debt is called sin. How you have missed the mark. How you have failed God, how you have fallen short. And of course, the king is God. Now, in those days, just like in the early days of our country, if you couldn't pay a debt, you were thrown into prison, along with your entire family. And yet, now Jesus turns the tables and he stuns the crowd. Their chins probably hit the dirt when he says this: "The servant's master took pity on him. He owes him $8 billion, but he takes pity on him. He cancels the debt." Now, understand, he doesn't just wipe it out. He says, "I will pay it." So we forget that when the debt is canceled, somebody still has to pay it. And the king says, "I'll do it. I'll reach into my treasury. I'll go to my storehouse. I will find 10,000 bags of gold that belong to me, and I will pay your debt." And then he let him go. So I want you to remember this. God has given his forgiveness to you. Your $8 billion debt is paid. How do you feel? Wow! That is awesome. So, number two, don't refuse to give your forgiveness to others. So, when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, 100 pieces of silver. It's 100 days of wages. And the man couldn't pay it. And so what did he do? Even though he's been forgiven $8 billion, he goes and he starts choking the man. And he says, "Pay me. And if you can't do it, I'm going to throw you in prison." This is, to me, is it to you? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. The man owes the equivalent of $13,694 when he had owed $8 billion. This is zero, and I love how many zeros are in there. This is 0.00000167%. It is infinitesimal. Do you know the meaning of infinitesimal? Go Google it. It means nearly zero. And again, that's the point. Something that will take thousands of lifetimes to pay compared to nearly zero. This man, this first servant, there's no gratitude to the king. There's no thanks. There's no excitement. He just goes right out and he begins to choke someone who owes him a few dollars. So not only is the man ungrateful, he is also unreasonable. Now, think about the person who has wronged you. And let's ask the question, why should you forgive, and you can just fill in the blank, whomever it is that has hurt you? Because God has already forgiven you. And forgiven people forgive people. Over on the right side there, on that second paragraph, ask yourself, do you know why it's so much easier for us to ask forgiveness from God? And we do it every week right here in church. You hopefully do it every day when you recount your sins. And what do you say? Forgive me. Later on in the Lord's Prayer, what are we going to say? Forgive me. And we do it all the time. And yet it is so difficult to give forgiveness to others. Why? Because we've failed to see the amount of our debt. And all we focus on is what other people owe us. We forget how much God has forgiven us and the hurt that we have caused him. And we only focus on the hurt that others have caused us. And so if you can begin to look rather at the cross and the payment, not $8 billion, but the blood, the life of God's Son, maybe you won't look so much at the pain someone else has caused you. And so then realize that forgiveness brings freedom. As we end the parable, Jesus says, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to." He didn't have to forgive it, but he did. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Well, of course, just as I had on you. And so this story could and should have had a happy ending, shouldn't it? The first servant is forgiven. He goes out and forgives another servant, and so it would go. That servant would forgive another, and so it goes. But that's not how it ends at all. The first servant ends up in prison, just where he started. And now, not only is his wife and children put into prison, but it says he is tortured. And will that torture allow him to pay off the $8 billion? No. He'll never be able to pay it off. And he'll be tortured forever. And that's what happens to so many people. When they hold on to a grudge, when they hold on to that bitterness because they cannot forgive. It's a poison when you hold on to it. Who is it that you hurt the most when you do not forgive? Is it the person that you don't forgive? No. The person you hurt the most is you. And so forgiveness primarily benefits the one who forgives, not the one who is forgiven. And unforgiveness primarily hurts the one who refuses to forgive. Let's put this all in perspective in just a few moments. We are going to pray, and we are going to say those words again in the Lord's Prayer. You know them so very well. Forgive us what? Our trespasses, our debts, our sins, as we do what? As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. What I want you to understand today is this, that God does not forgive me because I forgive others. God forgives me for one reason, and one reason only. Because Jesus Christ, his Son, died on the cross for my sin. God forgives me because Jesus paid my debt. And for the exact same reason, God forgives the person who has sinned against you. Because Jesus Christ has paid that debt. And so I forgive as God has already forgiven me. And that's what we're praying in that prayer. Just as I can say to God, forgive me, I can also say to others, I forgive you. If you have received God's forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ, then whoever has done something to you, whatever it is that they did, and no matter how many times they have done it, whatever it is, forgive them. Why? Because forgiven people forgive people. Amen? Amen. Before we get to the Apostles' Creed, let's show the video on why we love Emmanuel.